This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
It's my pleasure to welcome Scott Schober to the show. He is CEO of Berkeley Veritronics Systems, and they've been in business for about 40 years or maybe a little more, and they specialize in wireless security and threat detection. And there's a lot of very interesting stuff going on nowadays. You hear about it in the news, but you know, we keep adding to the complexity here. Now we've got drones flying all around the world. And you know, there were some drones flying around France. I was reading about in the news very recently. I don't know if that's still happening. We've got Apple Pay. We've got all sorts of new possible areas here that we need to talk about today. Scott, welcome. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me on, Jason.
Well, it's good to have you. So, like I said, it is a complex world, and the complexity is just increasing by the moment, huh?
Yes, that's for sure. The cyber threats keep getting worse and worse.
There's a lot of convenience, too. You know, let's maybe first talk about drones. And when we talk about drones, I'm not talking about big, you know, multi-deca-million-dollar, you know, military drones. Just drones that, you know, are small recreational or small business type of drones, agricultural drones, et cetera. Of course, the FAA's been talking a lot about this lately. They issued some new rulings on it. Should we be concerned about eavesdropping via drone or hacking into our cell phones or this kind of stuff?
Well, certainly it's becoming easier and easier to do. And you made a good point. It's not necessarily these big expensive drones anymore. I can go out to the local store or hobby shop or over the internet and purchase a drone for maybe $1,000 to $3,000. And I have pretty advanced capability there. If I wanted to spy on somebody with high definition camera, I easily could, or listen in with an audio connection, or even worse, do what's called a man in the middle attack, and in which I could actually fool somebody, fool maybe their cell phone or their tablet or perhaps their notebook from a Wi-Fi connection, where I could pretend I am somebody else and I'm actually going to steal their content. And if they're accessing a website, entering a password or username or anything compromised, maybe like credentials, I could gather and gain that information and use it for wrongful purposes. So
what does that mean? The man in the middle attack, is that when the hacker makes your cell phone think it's talking to a cell tower, right?
Yeah, or more likely, which is much easier to do, what is happening is a Wi-Fi connection. All of our smartphones have built-in Wi-Fi connectivity. So you're not on the cellular WAN, the traditional cell towers that we think of when we're talking, but rather a close hotspot, a Wi-Fi access point is what you'll be simulating there in a man-in-the-middle attack. And you could do is affix a bridge access point to the bottom of a drone, a simple payload. It's maybe half a pound.
So, Scott, I've always wondered about this. I've always wondered if, with this type of thing, when someone is at a Starbucks, for example, or any hotel or any kind of public Wi-Fi, and, you know, I have banked online many times at a Starbucks or a hotel. I've just had to. I need to do stuff, and I'm not always using a VPN. I've only recently, you know, started learning about that and tinkering with that kind of stuff. But when it says HTTPS, you know, like it's a secure connection, am I okay or not?
No, not 100% okay. And that's typically what you would look for entering in a browser if you're doing online shopping, or as you mentioned, banking and things of that sort. The challenge is oftentimes will go to those sites, and maybe it is a secure browser and a secure connection. However, the means of communicating may not be on a wired link, but a Wi-Fi link. Now you're exposed if that...
Well, it's always on a Wi-Fi link, yeah.
Well, it depends. You can enter in HTTPS right now on a browser, but from a wired connection. Same is true on a wireless connection, but your wireless connection may be through Wi-Fi. In fact, that's probably the majority of the time. You don't always know where that transmission is going, because the cyber thieves can actually mimic another website that looks exactly the same and fools you completely. And that's where you got to really use caution. So I always caution, do not use any free public Wi-Fi sites, period. No matter how tempting they may be.
Oh, you're making it very inconvenient here, Scott. A lot of listeners are thinking, gosh, that's going to really mess me up. What about, does a VPN solve that problem? If you use a VPN and then access the bank website, for example, have you allayed your fears here, or should you still be worried?
And to me, security is not 100%. You should still be worried. What's more safe is probably a better way to approach it. In my opinion, you can go out and buy a simple hotspot, a 4G Verizon LTE hotspot, where you would use, the cellular communications over the tower, where you have a safe, secure, modulated signal that can't be hacked, and then locally redistribute the Wi-Fi to your actual phone.
So, or use the hotspot built into your smartphone. That's the same thing, right?
As long as, again, you're not using it connected to local Wi-Fi at Starbucks or something else.
Okay, so if the smartphone's not connected to Wi-Fi, you're purely using the cellular network. That's good. What does modulated mean when you say a modulated signal?
A modulated signal. If you look at a traditional continuous wave signal, it's like a waveform, like a wave in a sense, if you had to envision it from like the ocean or something like that. Whereas a digital signal is modulated, it's much harder to hack into, and it doesn't have open standards. And that's what the cellular phones these days are using. The old days, remember a cellular phone? You can go to Radio Shack. You could listen into the conversations. They were analog signals, easy to hack. New modulated signals with CDMA or LTE networks that we hear about, the 4G, fourth generation technology, very hard to hack into and thus much safer than your traditional signals or the Wi-Fi standard, which is very easy to hack into.
Right. Okay, good. That's good to know. Thank you for telling us that. So that's the way to do it. Do it over your cellular network. What about, do you deal with, I know you... You're a government contractor, correct?
Absolutely. We sell to a lot of government agencies all the time.
Yeah, yeah. So what about all these people, and this may be a conflict of interest, just say so and I'll shut up and I'll stop asking questions, but, you know, what about people who, you know, are really concerned about the NSA? I mean, we know they're eavesdropping, right? And, you know, and wanting to get around that, and there are, you know, there's that, what do they call it, the black phone? I was reading an article about that the other day that says, you know, if we'll pay you if you can hack our phone, and the NSA can't even hear. But remember, it's two sides of the communication. The other, assuming that is true, and I'd like you to comment on it, but the whole other side of the communication has got to be on the black phone too, or some kind of...
Exactly. It's got to be secured and encrypted, both sides of the link. So you're absolutely right. Is it more secure? Absolutely. But I don't think you can expect the average listener to go spend an exorbitant amount of money to get a black phone to be secure. They can use applications that will add layers of encryption onto your phone. Probably more concerning for the average person is their email or perhaps their text. What you can also do that is free, and I always encourage people, is what's called the Tor network and the Tor browser. You can download it free, and what that is used by is a lot of media and journalists around the globe, as well as a lot of the bad cyber guys that are doing a lot of corrupt activities. So they remain anonymous and cannot be traced because it bounces the IP traffic from server to server, computer to computer.
You know, I remember seeing the WikiLeaks movie, and I think they were talking, that's the Onion thing, right?
Yeah, it's called the Onion Router. In short, they call it Tor. And again, that allows you to be completely anonymous. Bad guys use it, but good guys use it too. And it just doesn't allow somebody like an agency like NSA or others to spy on you. It was originally developed by the United States Navy, and it's now supported by free volunteers around the globe. And it's popular.
How do you know you can trust that type of stuff, though? You know, I mean, how do you know that the NSA doesn't just own that?
It's a good point. The big difference with that is it has very strong encryption. So it was designed from day one to send secure information. If you're one government entity to another working on the other part of the world, you could use that. And it's heavily encrypted. And again, since the traffic's bounced around, you can't trace where it came from. It's pretty safe. And that's why the government uses it and a lot of the media professionals. And of course, the bad guys use it to hide.
Right, right. So, and the problem with those types of things is it becomes really slow, right? Because it's got the data's got to bounce all around rather than going and taking the shortest path.
You're right. There is some latency in some of the communication, but I don't think it would be enough to discourage somebody from using it. It's pretty advanced stuff. It works well. I'm surprised that more people don't use it, but I think it's got that negative connotation to a lot of the bad guys, and they're afraid to be monitored.
Yeah, interesting stuff. So what about that back to the cell phone cloning and so forth? Tell us about some of these ominous ways that, you know, small drones could be used by crooks and so forth. I mean, you know, they can spy on you. That when the drone thing becomes really widespread, I don't know what we're going to do about that. I mean, that's just a really weird kind of invasion of privacy that could be going on all the time. I mean, these drones are going to get really small, where they might get the size of a bumblebee, you know, and they might be tiny.
Yeah, and they can actually talk amongst one another. So you could actually send out a swarm of drones. Imagine 10 or 20 drones that are on a mission to do something.
The military application is going to be pretty awesome, though.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think about some of the more recent things. Maybe if you look at this, and not to scare people, but imagine a threat if you're in a giant sports complex and somebody in the parking lot takes a drone and they fly it up and it carries a payload of 5 pounds. Imagine if they had an explosive. They have advanced cameras. They have other things that you know, they could leave in the middle of the field. That could be very threatening to very large crowds of 100,000 plus people.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. It could be extremely. What will ultimately be the defense against this? I mean, you know, like years ago, you could have said, well, missiles, you know, you can't defend against missiles. And now we can. We have the Patriot batteries, you know, that'll defend. And there are missile defense systems. But, you know, something is fragmented and small. And I mean, what will be the thing to do with a drone? Will it be to just jam the GPS system somehow? Will it be to jam the radio signals? Because, you know, they can ultimately be autonomous where they can think for themselves. They won't need a radio signal. Someone won't need to be controlling the drone. Someone can just send it on their mission and it'll go do its mission without direct control, right?
Sure. Well, the one big problem is, first of all, you cannot jam any of the radio frequencies, be it the GPS or the traditional cell phone bands or even the Wi-Fi bands, because it's illegal, at least here in the U.S.
So, well, I'm assuming criminals don't follow the law, so, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Criminals don't. Probably what we've approached it from this standpoint is the detection and location of a drone or a threat is more valuable. So you can actually, with one of our tools, it's a Yellow Jacket tool, it focuses on Wi-Fi drones. We look at both bands, so the pilot controlling the drone as well as the drone flying, and we can hone in on the particular signal, and it has a unique address to the drone as well as the pilot controlling it in the actual controller, and we have a direction-finding antenna. So now we could look up at the sky and aim it back and forth, move it like a Geiger counter, and see the signal strength increasing as it gets closer. We can look up from the MAC address what's the make of the drone. We can determine with one of our algorithms how far the drone is away in altitude and see that it's approaching, and also the statistics about it. Okay, this drone can fly 2 miles high, it can go 50 miles per hour, it's a quadcopter, so on and so forth. So we can get those parameters, and then we could switch over and hit the button and say, okay, now I want to locate the pilot. And to me, that's the powerful part, because you want to take the threat out or determine where the guy is sitting in the black van flying this thing.
This will be the defense system, yeah.
Exactly what you identified. This is one means as a defense system. So we're offering this right now. But just as you said, people that want to take a drone out and they want to do jamming, certainly that's possible. There is also attack drones now. There are drones that are being trained that if there's a drone threat in an area, another drone will be dispatched immediately and go above this drone, and they could drop something so it lands into the props of the drone. It could drop a small net. There's different guns that they sell as well. When it gets close, you could shoot the drone down with a net. Again, it's anything to block the props. We'll take it out of the sky.
The concept of Top Gun is now becoming micro, you know. it's just amazing, yeah. But these are all military applications. I mean, civilians can't own any of this stuff, I'm sure, right?
Oh, no. All the drones that I'm talking about are civilian drones. We've bought about three of them so far.
No. But I'm talking about the defense system. I mean, certainly you're not allowed to have a drone that shoots things. I'm sure, no. Right?
That would be somebody that's going to counter the drone, and that would be a mobile command center that's dispatched at a giant stadium or a government facility would buy that and use that. Not your average citizen. You're correct. I'm sorry.
And when I was talking about jamming the signals before, I was talking about the government doing it in defense of the population in that stadium example you gave. Can the I've always been curious. Can the GPS system be hacked or jammed? You know, I would assume that in wartime, this is something the enemy would want to do, right? Because our GPS guided bombs and missiles are so precise nowadays. Wouldn't Al-Qaeda and ISIS want to somehow jam or mess up our GPS system? Are they able to do that? Is that possible even?
Yes, certainly possible. And there are GPS jammers on the market. Again, they are illegal, but they are easy to obtain. Most of the GPS jammers are for local proximity. So in other words, I could buy one and put it in my car so my boss can't spy on me if I have a certain route to drive, or truck drivers and such will often buy them. But there are high-powered GPS jammers as well, as scary as that is. And that could be used for, wrongful intentions of bad guys. And they certainly do that. And there are also tools to scan for intentional jammers, so you can actually hunt them down. And we do sell tools to the FCC as well as other organizations that can hunt down jammers for cell phones, jammers for GPS, and so on.
Very interesting. What else is out there? You know, what haven't I asked you about that you want to talk about? Well, actually, before I let you have free rein, I got a question for you.
Yeah, please.
Car hacking. We're on the verge of having a wonderful revolution, in my opinion, of autonomous self-driving cars. I'm going to be the early adopter. I'm going to be the first kid on the block with one of those. It's a huge thing I really want. I want to have a computer chauffeur me around. But nowadays, I mean, I was just watching Blacklist last night on Netflix. Great show, by the way. And the guy hacked into someone's car and made the airbag go off while he was driving down the street, caused an accident. You know, what about car hacking? Is that a big threat?
Yes, it's certainly concerning. I wouldn't say it's a widespread threat where people should not drive in their cars and be paranoid or things of that sort. However, people should keep in mind with modern cars, if you bought in the last year or two or a new model now, they all have cellular modems embedded in them. This is the most 50 most popular car companies out there put in these telematics modules. It's the essence of what's inside of our cell phone. And that, again, allows your car to call out to the dealership, if there's a problem, emergency services, so on and so forth. But the fear is that somebody, again, could hack in by that means, or if there's a Wi-Fi hotspot again, or if they're in close proximity Bluetooth. All of these things are possible. However, it is difficult to do. It's been proven that it can be done, but it's more in laboratory type of controlled experiments. However, hackers are pretty knowledgeable, and they'll take it to the next level until they can find a real threat. And before you know it, they could imagine applying the brakes if you're driving down 60 miles an hour, or an airbag goes off, or things of that sort. It's extremely scary that someone could have that level of control over your car. So car companies have been very careful just in the past 6 months to look very closely at securing and encrypting some of their internal wireless technologies to minimize this from happening. Still a threat, though.
Tell us, if you would, how Give us the angle of the criminal for a moment. I'm sure I'm not, you're not going to expose anything someone can't find out with a few Google searches anyway. How do they hack things? I mean, I don't even understand the concept of it. Like, how does someone clone a cell phone tower and fool your cell phone? How would someone hack into your car? What do they do? I mean, how does that even work?
Well, oftentimes, if you give the example of your car, and they know that the car has Wi-Fi connectivity or cellular WAN connectivity, talking to the cell towers, what they could do is kind of look where it is not secured. Oftentimes, they don't provide secure passwords to get access inside to the car. So it may be somebody hooks a computer up to test the diagnostics, and they do it wirelessly through this handheld device, or they do it through what's commonly called an OBD2 port under your steering wheel. When they have that level of connectivity and there's not a secure password, and many companies unfortunately never thought about the threat, and they're producing cars, they're not producing security devices. Once that's figured out how to hack into the password, they can get in, they can take over and have control. More likely what a cyber thief would do is try to jam your car when you try to lock your car. Imagine you're going to the mall, you get out, you press your little button to lock the doors. At the same time they see you, they press a button and it jams the signal so your doors do not lock. You go into the mall, they hop in your car, they rob some stuff, and they take off. You never know what happened.
Yeah, okay.
That's a big problem.
And that's probably an easy one, I assume.
That's an easier one, and that's more the occurrence of what's happening, honestly.
I mean, do all these guys have to be, electronic engineers, or is this something they can go on Amazon and buy? I saw some... I remember there was a news piece about a car key sort of replicator or something, and I looked literally on Amazon.com. I was curious about it, and it seemed like you could buy that thing for $170. I was shocked. Is it really that easy?
Unfortunately, a lot of this technology or the know-how, it is easy to procure. I typically don't mention any of the sites or where they can go, but it's safe to say in the dark web, which is, again, that layer under the surface web where we are, where all the criminal activity, every single thing is for sale for a price. And you can get tools to hack. You can get algorithms. You can get toolkits. You can get anything you pretty much want to do to conduct crime, be it wireless, wired, computer fraud, you name it. It's scary.
Yeah, it's an amazing and a scary time to be alive at the same time. Is identity theft still the biggest problem out there? That seems to be the crime of choice the last several years.
Oh, sure. Identity theft is. And why is that? Because, number one, it's easy to obtain people's credentials, compromised credentials. They can steal them. They can put them together in large lists, and again, they can sell it in the dark web easily for quick monetary gain, and there's two or three stages of it where it passes hands, so it's hard to trace it back to the original thieves. So thieves like that. They could sit in their basement on their computer in the middle of Romania, make a lot of money selling other people's identity, and it's hard to catch them. So they're very attracted toward that.
So I'm gonna sort of take the positive angle here for a moment and see if you agree with me, Scott. I think all of this identity theft and this cybercrime threat, in a weird way, it's almost good. And here's how I'm saying that. If we just sort of give in to the idea that there will always be crime, there will always be a bad element in society, and that's just the way it will always be. Hopefully it won't always be that way, but it always has been that way, at least so far, right? And at least with the crime moving toward the web and cybercrime, you don't have to worry as much about your physical self. You know, it's less likely you're going to get mugged on the street nowadays. And maybe this is the reason violent crime, in some cases, in some areas, and depending on how you slice and dice the stats, of course, and it's all revisionist and maligned, I'm sure, in many ways, and understated. But, you know, it doesn't seem to be as big of a threat as it was in, say, the 70s or the 80s. And maybe that's because a lot of the criminals have found a cleaner way in the information world to commit crimes, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think you hit it on a good point. I mean, and until it touches yourself personally, it's hard to fully identify. We, unfortunately, our company was a victim of being hacked. Our debit card, credit card, our checking account, where it's under federal investigation. They tried to take down our website, Twitter feed. once those things happened, what do? We had to reinforce our security and look at the way we do business differently to protect our customers, to protect our money. So you think of things differently. To me, it forced me to write a book on it to share the mistakes that we've made with other people. It's called Hacked Again, and I share in there chapters that I focus in why it's so important to have a password. You know, what are the dangers of identity theft and how to protect yourself? What are the wireless threats out there and how can you secure your wireless network? All of that type of information, I've gone out there and kind of shared best practices so people can protect themselves, because once it affects you personally, you look at it very differently.
Oh, it's got to be a monumental hassle. I mean, I've had some scrapes with it personally too. You know, a few things, I don't know that anyone's stolen my complete identity, but, you know, and there's several forms of identity theft. There's criminal, there's health records, there's, you know, credit cards and banking, of course, but there's a lot of forms of it. Do you think that these password generator tools and memory tools are a good idea, like LastPass and 1Password and those kinds of apps? Do you like those, or are they dangerous?
Yes and no. I like the concept because it's easy to remember one long, strong password. 15 characters or more, upper, lower, symbols, numbers. However, if and when that is ever compromised, you basically have given somebody your entire keychain. That's the gotcha. So it's more safe in some ways because you only have to remember one thing. But if that is ever compromised and somebody hacks into LastPass, can you imagine the damage that that would ensue? That scares me. I don't use it personally, but I understand it. And I do recommend it for certain people with certain things. But for financial information, if it's your stock portfolio or bank, I would not store my password on LastPass or any of the other sites myself.
Yeah, and I would just have to add to that. That's good advice. I would have to add to that that if you have a stock portfolio, you're getting victimized all the time because Wall Street is the modern version of organized crime. Just had to throw that in. You know you're getting screwed if you own stocks.
Yeah. But if you're going to own stocks, you can buy cybersecurity company stocks and do pretty well because they're doing very well.
Well, there's a thought. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, give out your website.
Absolutely. It's www.B as in boy, V as in Victor, and the word systems spelled out plural.com.
BVSystems.com. What questions didn't I ask that maybe I should have asked, or just what anything else you want people to know?
Well, certainly if people have questions, they could certainly go to that website, especially if it deals with wireless threat detection. If they have more common questions or want to learn more about best practices, if they go to the site hackedagain.com, we have a book that's coming out, and it covers best practices, and we share a lot of tips. We have a lot of blogs and information there that constantly is keeping you abreast of the latest threats and again, how to protect yourself.
Scott Schober, thank you so much. This has been a very enlightening discussion, and we appreciate you sharing these tips with us.
Oh, thanks again for having me on there, Jason.
Thank you for joining us today for the Holistic Survival Show, protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Be sure to listen to our Creating Wealth Show, which focuses on exploiting the financial and wealth creation opportunities in today's economy. Learn more at www.jasonhartman.com or search Jason Hartman on iTunes. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, offering very general guidelines and information. Opinions of guests are their own, and none of the content should be considered individual advice. If you require personalized advice, please consult an appropriate professional. Information deemed reliable, but not guaranteed. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.